上了，上了。
We gather this morning on this Lenten Sunday to encounter the divine. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning.
Thank you.
God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful prelude this morning. Thank you, Bert. Thank you, Mark, for opening our worship time this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this second Sunday in the season of Lent. As we walk this journey during this season, may we draw closer to the one who wants to call us his own. If you are a first-time guest with us, thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon. I want to encourage you, if you don't mind, to fill out one of the visitor's cards that are located in the pew in front of you. You can drop that off in the offering plate as you leave following the worship service this morning. For those that are joining us via Facebook Live this morning, thank you for joining us online this day. We hope you will be blessed by our time of worship this morning. If you're watching us for the first time online this morning, I encourage you to send me an email this week. Let me follow up with you this week and just connect. And again, saying thank you for joining us worship online today. You can also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin, use that as a resource for our worship service today. For those that are gathered in our sanctuary today, you will notice many announcements today, but just a reminder, today is our Share the Love offering for our international missionaries. Many of you have been dropping off those love offering envelopes in the offering plate during this month, and we want to thank you in advance for that. But today is our official Sunday, our last Sunday that we'll be collecting that love offering. If you've prayerfully considered it and you've decided this is the Sunday to do so, I encourage you to pick up one of those offering envelopes, drop it off in the offering plate. Again, the offering we collect via those love offering envelopes will go to support our international missionaries that we support, the Fushis in Japan, the Rogers in Africa, and McLean Wilson in Zambia. We have a busy afternoon of ministry that will take place today as well. At 1:30, we will be leading our worship time at Blakey Hall. Anybody is welcome to attend that worship service. I encourage you, if you have the chance, come at, if maybe not this month, but one of our months. We do the fourth Sunday every month at Blakey Hall. It is a wonderful time of ministry and a wonderful time of worship. Come join us sometime. But it's 1:30 this afternoon if you want to join us. It's on the second floor at the main building at Blakey Hall. Also this afternoon, the handbells will be practicing at 3 o'clock, just for our handbell players, just a reminder about that. And this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we'll be beginning our new Lenten Bible study, The Way. It'll be at 4 o'clock upstairs in the Fellowship Hall. And this afternoon, during that session, we'll actually be looking at talking about Jesus' baptism and also when he was tempted in the desert, in the wilderness by Satan. And looking at those two stories, and something I haven't shared with you, we'll be actually going to the Holy Land via the video. Adam Hamilton, who's leading this study, will take us to the locations of the Holy Land where they believe Jesus' baptism took place and where he was tempted out in the wilderness. So we read those stories in Scripture, and they're powerful stories, but now we get to picture it, see where scholars believe these events actually took place. Each week during the study, we'll be doing the exact same thing. So I encourage you to join me this afternoon at 4 o'clock. If you can't join me in person, of course, you can watch it on Facebook Live, but I'll go back and watch it. The video is not as good online as you can in person, and we have a wonderful time of discussion as well. So come join me at 4 o'clock this afternoon for session one. You don't need to bring anything other than your Bible, because we'll be looking at those biblical accounts. Our youth and children will also meet tonight at 5 o'clock, immediately following the adult Bible study. Looking ahead to this week, Golden Years Bingo Ministry will take place on Tuesday. It was supposed to take place this past week, but we had to postpone it a week. So if you want to help out with that, you can talk to Sandy French this morning, and you're more than welcome to go and help with that ministry on Tuesday at 1:30. So we'll be serving at Joe's Diner. Team number two will be helping out at the Alamance Homeless Shelter Tuesday night at 5:30. So if you're on team two, just a reminder about that. And then Wednesday night, our worship choir will be practicing at 6:30 p.m. Thank you for those who brought items in for the blessing bags. We'll be putting those bags together in the next couple weeks. But today is the final Sunday we'll be collecting items. These are the bags that we'll be giving to individuals in our community that are in need, those that are homeless, those that are down and out. So again, today's the last Sunday. We'll be collecting those items. If you have some items you meant to bring today and you said, I left them at home, that's okay. Just swing by the office this week and we'll make sure they get together with all those other items. items. And then you'll look for our March missions collections. We'll be restocking the supplies for the Bingo Ministry for Golden Years. There's a list of items that we need in the bulletin and in the newsletter. One other last thing, Gabe wanted me to remind you that the Fun and Fellowship group will be going to the Joel Lane Museum in Raleigh. This is the place where the birthplace of the North Carolina Capitol took place. It'll be a wonderful time of historical touring, and also a wonderful lunch eating at the State Farmers Market. We'll be going on March 21st. There's sign-up sheets around the church where you can sign up for this wonderful trip. Make sure you get their name on the list so we can fill the bus for that wonderful trip. Well, we came to sing praise to our Lord. We came to worship. Our hope, our hearts, and minds are in that place today because that's why we are here. Let's sing praise to Him this day.
Let's stand and sing in the name of the Lord and oh for a thousand tongues.
Scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 22, reading verses 23 through 31. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor Him. Revere Him, all you descendants of Israel. For He has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden His face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. That's why we gather here today. Not only to proclaim it for ourselves, but to proclaim it as a people group, to proclaim it as a community, and to proclaim it as a world. We can proclaim it that He is our God, and for Him we lift up praise today. Let's go to Him in prayer this morning. Father, we, like the psalmist, cry out in praise and thanksgiving in response to God's eternal loving kindness, holding us, guiding us, enfolding us with grace. As we gather here as the people of God, we pray that our worship will reflect that divine love. We offer our worship today with the season of Lent driving our thoughts and driving our actions. Let our praise for all that God has done, is doing, and will do truly resound within our hearts and our homes, within these walls and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Soon and Very Soon. And y'all know the words to this. I want to hear you lift up the rafters to it. Let's stand and sing.
This morning, our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, reading verses 1 through 7 and verses 15 and 16. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Again this morning, just like last week, we hear of the covenants that God has established with us. We are a covenant people. We gather here as a covenant people. And for that, we can give praise this day.
Our next hymn this morning is, "O Lord, You're Beautiful." And we're not sure that you really know this, so the choir's going to sing it first, and then I'm going to turn around and y'all sing. So you can stay seated till I turn around.
Share the love with your international missionaries that come from this church here. We need to be praying for these folks, particularly for the family that's going to be retiring this year. God has blessed us to have these people. So let's pray and pray for our offering today. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for the many blessings we've received. We thank you for the wonderful people that we know and have met that are serving you in foreign lands. Lord, I thank you for the staff here that we support with our tithes and offerings. And Lord, I thank you for the love that we have where we reach out to those who need you. Lord, I'm just tickled to death to see so many visitors here today. Thank you for the love that we have for the people who come and visit with us. I pray that you would bless us. Bless my pastor as he preaches. Bless the choir as they sing. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated.
Thank you.
as we prepare to encounter God's Word once again during the season of Lent. We're going to spend a little bit of time during this moment of prayer prior to just in quiet reflection. So let's spend a few moments in silence, reflecting to God, confessing things to God, praying and lifting up things to Him as we go to Him in prayer this morning. Let us pray. Lord, as we come to you today in a time of confession, we know we often look for you in the wrong places. We put our trust in material things. We worry about things that we cannot change. We wonder if you were even there at all when we go to you in prayer. For all the times that we have doubted you, Lord, forgive us this day. For all the ways that we have neglected your word and ignored your people, forgive us this day. Do not be far from us, Lord. There is no one else we can turn to for help. Renew our fickle hearts and help us put our trust in you. We are so thankful this day that the words from Hebrews 4 still speak truth for us today. There is no wrong that God cannot make right. There is no chasm that can separate us from God's love. The Lord is patient and kind, generous and good. God will not forsake us or leave us. Turn to the Lord with confidence and put your faith in God's great mercy. By the power of Jesus Christ, we are made whole. Thank you, God, for being there for us this day and every day. And all God's people said, Amen. Again, let me say good morning and welcome to First Baptist Elon. Thank you for joining us for worship on this second Sunday during this season of Lent. I will be continuing the sermon series I began last week, which is titled Seekers, each Sunday during this season of Lent, as we are called to draw closer to Christ, to our Savior. We're going to look at gospel encounters of individuals who sought out Jesus for specific reasons, and in doing so, had the opportunity for their lives to be changed. Last week we read the story of Nicodemus, a man who sought truth from Jesus, who had his entire life changed for the better. Now, I will be honest, my hope is that from each of these sermons during the season of Lent, you'll be like the worshiper who filed out of church following the morning worship service, meeting the senior pastor at the door. As the man shook hands with the senior pastor, he intently looked into the senior pastor's eyes and said, "Powerful sermon, Pastor, powerful sermon. Thoughtful, well-researched, wonderful. I can always see myself in these sermons. And I want you to knock it off." That's what I hope you'll say to me. But all joking aside, I hope these sermons challenge you during this season of Lent where we're called to be challenged. This morning we turn our attention to a gospel encounter about a man whose name we do not have. We can't call him by name like we did last week with Nicodemus, but whose story is well worth telling. This rich man that sought out Jesus was seeking direction, and Jesus provided the answer, maybe not the one that he was hoping for. Now, I know this Sunday is not Epiphany Sunday, where we tell the story of the wise men, but I am sure some of you may have heard the following joke. Do you know what would have happened if it had been three wise women instead of three wise men who visited the baby Jesus? I see some of you nodding your head. You've heard this joke before, right? If it had been wise women who went to visit Jesus, they would have asked for directions. They would have arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby. They would have cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought practical gifts to Jesus. Asking for directions. Those three words. Asking for directions. Now, are you one of those individuals that when you get lost would rather cut off your arm rather than ask for directions? Raise your hand. Come on, be honest. Raise your hand. It's time for confession. Church is a time, place where you can confess things. I am one of those individuals. I am more likely to drive around for 15 to 30 minutes longer than simply ask the person that is from that area or from that town who could tell me how to get there in 2 minutes. I'll drive around it, and I'll come back to that same place I've seen 10, 15 more times and say, I think I've got it. I think I've got it. But I still don't have it. Even in the modern world of GPS, I can still find a way to get lost. Amen? Amen. In today's gospel story, a rich man comes to Jesus seeking direction. Not directions of how to find the nearest restaurant or how to make it to the nearest biblical highway. Instead, the rich man was looking for spiritual direction. Jesus provides the answer, one that this man had heard before, but also one that gets to the heart of this man's struggles. See, Jesus identifies this man's blindness and his brokenness in hopes that he will align with him. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 22 this morning. The words will be displayed for you on the worship screens behind me as well. There are pew Bibles in the pew if you want to follow along that way. This encounter with the rich man in the Gospel of Mark takes place immediately after the story of the little children coming to Jesus. Now, we know that story, right? The little children came rushing up to Jesus to be blessed, and the disciple says, oh, no, stop, get away from him. He's too busy. He doesn't have time for you. And Jesus says, stop, let the little children come to me. And they come up to him. Jesus blesses them. And it's not a coincidence that this story takes place, the children's story takes place immediately prior to a rich man coming up to Jesus asking the question that he asks. Reading Mark 10, verses 17 through 22 this morning. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. The rich man approaches Jesus and says, Rabbi, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The man is earnest about his spiritual journey. Jesus answers in a very orthodox rabbi fashion. He points to the commandments. He starts running off the laws that all good Jewish followers would know. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Jesus frames his directions to the rich man in terms of what we call the second table of the law, the commandments dealing with our relationship with our neighbor. He's basically telling this seeker in his response to love your neighbor as you love yourself. We've all heard that one before, right? Be good to others. That's what Jesus says to do. And he said, well, I've done this. Now, as the rich man is hearing the words that Jesus is speaking, he's feeling reassured. He's getting more confident. He's like, I'm on the right path. I've done this. Yes, good. I'm great. Then he replies that he follows all these, but there's just got to be something else. That just can't be all of it. What else is there, he asks. What do I still lack? You see, the rich man still sensed a kind of emptiness inside, a loneliness. There was something that he was missing. Maybe we've been there before too. This feeling of emptiness often is the way that we recognize a spiritual nudging by the Holy Spirit. That's what the rich man had been nudged by. The Spirit had nudged him to go seek out Jesus. The ancient desert fathers refer to this nudging as acedia, A-C-E-D-I-A. This is described or defined as this sense of spiritual dryness or spiritual apathy. Like we just don't understand it, but it's just not working. What else, we think? What else can I do? What else can help me grow? There's got to be something else. Have you ever been at that point in your life? Have you ever asked that question? There just has to be something else. That's a powerful question. Some might say that's a dangerous question. But for Jesus, this is the power of a spiritual question, a holy spiritual question. And the rich man feels something like this. Maybe you feel something like this today. It is this internal spiritual prodding that leads him to seek out Jesus for direction. He doesn't know where to go. In Mark's account of this story, he adds a little piece of information that if you were to read Matthew and Luke's account of the rich man, you won't find. Mark tells us in verse 21 a line that kind of slips through the cracks of Scripture. He says this, that Jesus, looking at him, looking at this man, loved him. That's the key. That's the key to the answer. Jesus wasn't trying to put this man down. Jesus loved this man. Jesus looks at this seeker and he really sees him. He sees all the shortcomings, all his blind spots. He sees his fine clothing and his expensive shoes. He senses his attraction to possessions. Jesus is able to diagnose this man's deficiencies because he loves him and he loves him despite his weaknesses. That's the power of our God. Our God doesn't love us for the great things that we do. Our God loves us for our deficiencies. That's a God that I can get behind. That's the God we can get behind. Jesus' response is compassion. It's compassion. It's out of this compassion that Jesus speaks to the area that where he needed to grow and where we need to grow. Jesus probes into this man's neglected hidden side. It's like the backside of the moon. You never get to see it. This man has kept certain aspects of himself hidden from God and perhaps even hidden from himself. If he is going to find healing and experience this true growth, then he must face and accept this neglected part of himself. When we come seeking direction from Jesus, just like the rich man, he sees all of us with his compassionate eyes. And for that, I am thankful. In order to bring us into a greater wholeness, our blind and broken areas need to be identified and accepted. This realization will sting our ego. It won't make us feel good. The rich man didn't feel good by hearing what Jesus said, but we need to hear it. But divine compassion cannot allow these atrophied and unhealthy areas to be overlooked any more than a doctor can withhold the diagnosis of a sickness. This is the same dynamic that occurs in the 12-step process for addiction. The region of our disease must be identified in the 12-step process and named before the healing can truly take place. In his compassion, Jesus points out where the rich man had fallen short. He's coveted after things. He's loved possession more than God. The man departs grieving because Jesus has probed into the one spot that most needed his attention, and it hurt. It hurt. The story of the rich man ends there. It ends there. We don't know the rest of the story. The story of the rich man ends in grief. We do not know where that journey led for him. First comes the grief of his acknowledgement. And the question is, will he heed Jesus' words? What's the rest of the story? I always want to know some of the rest of the stories in Scripture. Like this rich man, did he go home? And did he ponder what Jesus said? Did he see all the possessions he had? And he says, I don't need this. What I need is him. And then he went and sold everything. And he became one of the followers beyond Jesus. Jesus just didn't have 12 followers, by the way. He had a whole bunch of followers. Did he become one of those that followed Jesus all the way to the cross? Or did he go back to his home and look around and said, I can't give this up. I worked so hard for this. What's his story? What's his story? What's our story? We should still seek out Jesus for direction. When we are faced with a dilemma, when we are having an important decision to make, we should come to him in prayer. We should search his words in Scripture. You do not see them much anymore, but several years ago, there was this great fad of plastic bracelets inscribed with the letters WWJD. Remember those things? What would Jesus do? How many of you wore one of those? Time for confession. You can say you did. Some of the young people are looking at us like, what in the world are they talking about? It was an 80s and 90s thing, back before your day. It was such a simple statement, but it is amazing how asking that question, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say, bring new clarity to a situation? When we ask that question, we are seeking Jesus' direction. In closing this morning, our goal as followers of Christ in seeking Jesus' directions in the same desire felt by the rich man, we wish to align our thoughts and our actions more perfectly with the good and gracious will of God. Unfortunately, like the rich man, oftentimes we only want to go so far. We don't want him to identify those shortcomings, those spots we want to keep hidden. In the book, When I Relax, I Feel Guilty, Tim Hansel writes some insight on what most people want from God. Listen to these words. These words stink. Words that could be heard behind the statements of the rich man and maybe behind the statements and the actions of us. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, but not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please, but that's all. That's all. This is what the rich man wanted that day. Yet Jesus was offering so much more. The rich man walked away asking questions, pondering his next steps. The same offer is being brought to us this day. Jesus has provided the directions. The question is, are we willing to follow them? Are you willing to follow him? Or just like the rich man, do you just want to buy $3 worth of God and live the next day? Let's pray. Father, thank you for an anonymous man that we only can describe as the rich man. He sought out your son, and in seeking out him, he asked a life-changing question, and he didn't like the response. Father, how many times do we come to you and maybe we get the response that we don't want to hear? Father, may we seek you for direction, and may when we hear them, may we follow them, not walk away and question or walk away and go a different direction. May we seek you and follow you and provide that guidance and support for others who seek to follow you as well. The direction is there. We just have to be willing to step up and follow. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of commitment, maybe today for the very first time, you recognize that Jesus' directions begin with following him. Maybe for the first time you recognize that Jesus has called you and calling you. You recognize him as your Savior. Come down front. Let me talk to you. Let me pray with you. Let me embrace you in that decision. Or maybe you're looking to follow a group and join a church family who seeks to honor God through our actions and our words, that seeks to follow his direction. Not our own directions, but his direction. First Baptist Elon could be that home for you. Or maybe just today, maybe you've been in that spiritual dry spot. Maybe you've been struggling. And it's okay to admit it. Because we all go through those times. I go through those times. Maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe in the season of Lent, you come to that point where you need some help. You need some direction. Come down front. I'll pray with you. Come to the altar. Lay it upon the altar. Our deacons will come pray with you. Whatever it is, wherever you are, whether you're the one walking to Jesus, whether you're the one embracing and asking those questions to Jesus, or whether you're the one walking the other way, wherever you are, and you need to make a commitment, make it today. Don't put it off. Make it today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. place today, know that you go with one who is giving you the direction. Listen, follow, don't question, and who knows where he might lead. Go in peace, and I hope I'll see you back this afternoon.